This is February the 12th, 2017, and we are reaching around the world in the effects of our blessing and even in the attendance of our blessing. Welcome, everyone, to the blessings of Christ, and we hope that you will bring an open heart and a receiving attitude and be prepared to take in all that the Holy Spirit and Yeshua and by the grace of God there is for you. And I know that it can be great if only we ask, as Yeshua said, knock and the door shall be opened, seek and you shall find, ask and it will be given. Sometimes we wonder about that because we ask and ask and ask and we don't get what we're asking for. And I know that a lot of you have challenges of faith around that very subject. And I want to talk to you about that today because it has a lot to do with everybody's experience of life. I know it'll be a universal topic, and it actually conveniently has a lot to do with the opening session of our new webinar today. So I just thought it would be a great topic to take up and to examine. But before we do that, we always like to open our sessions for questions or requests for blessings or to let us know how you're doing, what blessings you've been receiving. It's always good to share gratitude. And as I just said before, what Yeshua said, it's always good to ask. So our board is open. We're looking for questions. And I know you're looking for answers. So let's see how we can put this together and make a great experience for everyone. I'm just going through the board. I don't see anyone on. Well, there we go. There is Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Glenda.
Yes.
It's Tony and Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
We really have just been enjoying and doing a little bit of practice, and we've gotten on a few of the calls. And I just want to say thank you so much because you've been very helpful, and I'm especially enjoying the experience of the essential oil doing the blessing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it seems like it really connects it very strongly, the energy. So just want to say thanks and hi.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks and hi. You know, that was a good reminder for everybody. Folks, if you have any Christ scent, use it during the blessing. And the reason I'm saying that is not because the Christ scent itself is going to bring about the miracle. Although I have heard some pretty astounding results from people using it. But I don't think it's really the oil that does it so much as the fact that it opens up the amygdala. That's the base, right at the base set of your brain, entering the autonomic nervous system. And that's the autonomic nervous system that innately, like a baby, trusts and receives help. The biggest problem we have in receiving is not that God doesn't give. It's that we have so many defenses, we push it away. I mean, that's the truest answer I can give you right there. But we're going to go into greater depth on that answer. But the great thing about Christ sense is that it gives an impression of the presence of Christ or the presence of a holy temple fragrance, that your basic consciousness recognizes and says, ah, yes, I'm standing on holy ground. And it opens up your whole life, your consciousness, your feeling, your sense of feeling, and feelings are so important to our willingness to receive. So do that if you have it. And that reminds me of another thing I would like to say, and that is if you have some water available, make sure that you're hydrated, because the blessing will flow energetically, and every form of energy flows through hydrogen and oxygen, which make up water. You know, our sun is just a mass of hydrogen. And, of course, the part of the atmosphere that sustains our life is oxygen. And you put the two together and you have water. So you have fire and water really literally put together, fire and air put together to make water. And it is about 98% of your body. And so the more you have, the more you can flow energy. And it's not just about spiritual things. Someone told me this decades ago when I was a student at the university. I might have been up studying most of the night, and I was so cotton-headed. I would just be going into the cafeteria to get another cup of coffee, and one of my teachers caught me and said, "No, another cup of coffee is not what you need, Glenda. You need a large glass of water, because coffee dehydrates you. And if you've been up all night cramming, you're dehydrated. Have some water, and your brain will function better." It was true. And from that time on, I started substituting coffee for water. Not entirely. I still enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning, but if I start feeling a little bit sluggish during the day, I don't go get a cup of tea anymore. I don't go get a cup of water. I go get a big glass of water. I mean, I don't get a cup of tea or coffee. I go get a big glass of water. And I think you can see I'm at the point where I'm needing this big glass of water. I'm sipping on it right now because I've been working all day on the webinar today, and it is so packed with energy. You know, even when we're not flowing, let's say a blessing from Christ or a blessing from the Holy Spirit, or we've been out jogging or doing anything else that we would associate with the flow of energy, just the heightened consciousness that we put into our work or our thoughts, you know that the organ in your body that consumes the greatest amount of energy is your brain. It's true. This is why if you can truly meditate and put your brain to sleep without actually physically falling asleep, you can restore yourself to a really, really high voltage level of energy. You will get a lot of energy back and release a lot of stress in the process. So, hi, we see Laurie's on the phone. Or is it Rick? You're on. Whichever one, Laurie, Rick, I just opened your line. You may have to unmute your phone because we can't hear you. Okay, well, your line is open. Just speak up when you can. And we have a caller from area code 413, and you're on.
Hi, this is Roberto Christian from Amherst. Just asking for prayers. Hi. Asking for prayers that my resistance and defenses be down and my faith be increased.
Oh, that's a great prayer. I so love that. And what's your name again?
Roberto.
Roberto. Okay. It's so nice to meet you. Is this your first time on our blessing call?
No, I've been before, but this is the first time in a long time.
Okay. Well, welcome back. And we certainly will hold you in our prayers. And I see that Mary, sweet Mary, is on the line. Hi.
Hey, Glenda, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Well, hi, everybody. I just wanted to share two stories, two things that have been on my mind lately that kind of, for me, directly relate to the blessings and also to the upcoming webinar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that I don't know who the first story is about, but I had listened to a conference on bridging our spirituality and politics together. The conference was called Sister Giant. And someone told a story about a teacher who was very young during World War II. And as a young child, at the onset of the war, he realized that the war had broken out and lines of division had been created. But it seemed to him that the birds didn't know that. And the birds flew across the greatest expanse of sky. And it really struck him that the birds had no idea about this war that was going on. And
mm-hmm.
the other thing that he noticed was there had been a soldier on a motorcycle, and the motorcycle broke. And he found a piece of the glass of the motorcycle, and he stood in a way that allowed him to reflect the most light. He realized that when he picked up that piece of glass, if he stood just so, he would reflect the light of the sun. And he tried to model his life way to stand in a way that would reflect the most light. It became the teaching of his life.
That's
and then the
great.
And then the other story that's been on my mind lately is I once heard a teacher say that the voice for God is spirit information, or you could break it up into spirit information. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to really realize more and more that when I put myself in formation and in receivership of God, I have a better day, a better moment, and a better life. And so it just relates to receiving the blessing and receiving the teachings from the webinar is how I choose to stand and what
mm-hmm.
voice it is that I want to be most connected to. So I'm always so grateful for the blessing and grateful for this upcoming class. So thank you very much for both of those.
You are so welcome, Mary. And what you say reminds me of parables that Yeshua would say so frequently, recorded in the New Testament. Where he would refer to the kingdom of God. And he, if you notice, he didn't use the term realm of God, place of God, height of God. He said kingdom. Now, in the day where he lived, the time, and place of his life, the governments of the earth were kingdoms. And so he was actually making a direct reference to a better form of government, the government of God. And I would like to clarify a term that you used when you opened this up and you said, reconciling politics and spirituality.
Right.
Well, Mary, they will never be reconciled because the very word for politics means polarized. It means put in opposing parts. And things that are in opposing parts will never be reconciled. what we really need on this earth is a way of governing our life spiritually that doesn't involve politics.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think it relates to what you've taught us before about how a problem is never solved on the level at which it is created. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We have to have a higher perspective on it. And Yeshua says that where we are as humanity is evolving to a place where we end polarity. And so I think that really the discomfort that's going on in the world is a great deal more than just discomfort about the results of the last election. I think it's discomfort about the whole process of politics. We're tired of it. We want something better. We want a better way of governing our life. We want to govern our life from a greater cultural, spiritual center that comes from loving one another, respecting one another, and understanding the simple and basic laws of God and grace of spirit. And in order to find that, we really do have to rise out of the conflicts of this world, because the conflicts will always hold us at that horizontal level. We just simply have to rise up and get to a place where it's not necessarily more peaceful, but it's easier to surmise. We're less in conflict. We begin to have answers. We begin to respect the ideas of others and look for what we can learn from other people. We begin to compare ideas instead of conflict ideas. We begin to say, well, I don't think you have the whole thing right, but I think you've got a good point there. You know, we move one step up to where we are community, and then we begin to grow. We have a caller from area code 780, and I'm going to take that call. Hi.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
It's Desmond.
Oh, hi, Desmond. How are you?
Good. You were saying about the government being the kingdom of heaven, and I totally agree with, if we govern properly, but you're saying how politics is polarized.
Yes, and, right now it is.
I'm a big fan. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm a big fan of Donald Trump. I think he has a lot to offer, but, within us, I think we all have, polarities within ourselves, and
that's where they come from. Exactly. They just got, the polarities inside ourselves got stirred up. That's what happened.
So, how do we bring into ourselves, a harmony of these things and govern ourselves? Because I know, for example, I got really stirred up last night, and I had some, dark thoughts of following the world and an identity and all these kinds of things. And then there's this other part of me that just wants to have a simple life and live the blessed life where my life is just full of blessings. And I kind of get polarized between, having the ways of the world and earning an identity and all these things. So I naturally try to balance mine out. But do you have any tips on how to balance out the polarities within ourselves?
Well, first of all, let's don't work on balance. Let's work on priority. And priority comes down to values. Let me give you two responses that Yeshua said. First of all, he said, I am in the world, but not of the world. So what he was meaning when he said that is, I'm in the world, And I deal with the fact that I need to eat and other people need to eat, and I provide food and I take food and I sleep and I heal and I talk to people and I share my life in the world. But he gave preeminence to the fact of who he was as a spiritual being. He knew what came first. Then, in another question, he was asked about taxation. Was it legal? Should we pay taxes? And he said, well, given to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. Again, you see, he was establishing values. And I think that what we have to look at is not so much our, see, when we go into polarized choices, what we do is we set up a seesaw. You know what a seesaw is. Every kid knows what a seesaw is. And it goes from one side down to one side up, and hopefully another kid is on the other side, and one's up and one's down and one's up and one's down. And when we polarize anything, that's the way it goes in life. And the fact is, if you manage to balance it, it wouldn't be any fun at all. You would just sit there in midair. Let's say two kids weigh exactly the same in ounces, and neither one can move the seesaw. It would be no fun. There would be no game. There would be nothing. So what are the choices? Well, the choices are, let's create a value-based life where some things are just more important than others. They're not put in opposite camps. They're not balanced off one against the other. Which one do I do now? Which one do I do next? Which one is always more important? But which one do I always do? To me, eating is not the most important thing in my day. But I would say, looking at the weight levels of some people, it's pretty doggone important to some people. And maybe for reasons that I know nothing about, I withhold my judgment. Maybe they're health reasons. But the same thing is true when I see an extremely physically toned body, somebody that looks trim and muscular. I know that working out or jogging is probably very, very important to that person. Nothing wrong with that. They've established their values. That's what's important, what's less important. Establish your values. But what goes along with that is also our feelings. Desmond, you know, the one thing that you'll take to bed with you every night, no matter what happens in the day, is you're going to take to bed your feelings. Did you have good feelings about that day? Did you have bad feelings about that day? When we're through with this conference and you're through with the blessing, you've received it, you have the webinar later and you learn what I'm going to present to you, what you'll remember most is how you felt during that seminar. That's what you'll take away most. And then you'll look back on those feelings and you'll recall the good feelings and you'll learn from the good feelings. And you'll push away anything that you didn't, maybe you didn't agree with something, or maybe you didn't understand something, or maybe something I said caused you to have to think about something a little more, so it caused a little discomfort, and you wrote it down, and you thought, I'll get back to that later. You see, but the things you'll really focus on are the things that made you feel good. It's human nature. It is absolutely human nature. You can teach anybody anything by relating it to what they love most. And that's a secret to life. It's a secret to making friends. It's a secret to making yourself happy. Do a little bit every day of something you really, really love. Be honest about it, though. You know, it doesn't. Here's where we go wrong. Here's where we go wrong in all of our conflicts and our difficulties. is that we borrow feelings from other people. We think because other people feel that way, we should feel that way. And we feel bad that maybe I don't feel like they do.
I often feel very different because my influences are, my inputs of what I do take from other people that I do prioritize are very different than what my close family members think about life. And my mom, for example, loves me a lot, and she just feels this tremendous love for me, but she's not, I don't always agree with how she feels about how my life should turn out, because I don't feel that that's actually how I see my own life. I see my own life very differently sometimes than she does. But I take a lot of coaching from her because she has a lot of, she knows me very well and has a lot of good input.
Well, see, it's good to do both, Desmond. And the important thing is you know the difference. That's mm-hmm. what's important. And that you're honest about what your feelings are. Okay? Now, this goes for everybody on the call. And I want to use this as a little 2 or 3 minute summary of what I was going to make a larger message out of. And that has to do with ask and you shall receive. This works with God also. It works especially with the Holy Spirit. And it works phenomenally with Yeshua. He looks for our feelings. They look for our feelings. They want to honor our feelings and our values. If we're asking for something because we think we need it, but it's not really what we want. Well, feelings are not straight on it. We're conflicted in our feelings. We're conflicted in our values. Guess what? They wait until we get our feelings straightened out, until we get our values straightened out. And it's not enough just to have your feelings straightened out. Your feelings and your values have to work together. And it's not just that, okay? Your feelings and your values need to be working together to send a clear message in your prayer, in your request. But then you have to not deny them when you go back into the world and you're with other people. You know, on the day of the crucifixion, Peter swore, Lord, I will not deny you. I will not deny you. And Yeshua smiled and he said, you will deny me 3 times. And he did. Why? Because he couldn't allow his values and his feelings to be observed by those who would be conflicted by them, who might harm him, who might harm others. And he ran and he hid and he felt very guilty about it. Now, let's just say you're asking, you're praying, but first of all, you don't even have your feelings straight. You don't even have your values straight. What you're doing is you're hoping God will straighten your feelings out for you. And then you're hoping that maybe somewhere in heaven, you'll get your values straightened out also. And then you're hoping that you can bear up to what you ask for. Now, the first step always in activating a prayer is to take action. And you might say, well, Glenda, if I have to go do it, what's the point of praying? And I have to tell you that your action is where your faith and your courage confirm the sincerity of your prayer. And God does wait for that. God does more than partner with. He'll do a 99%, you 1%. It's not that it has to be a 50-50 partnership. He can work miracles where he does 99% of it, but he's not going to do anything until you confirm your request by living up to it with your integrity and your ability to have faith in what you ask for and to take action upon it. You cannot go into prayer with conflicted feelings and values and then come out of prayer and deny your prayer in the face of others and expect God to do what you have denied and wiped off the blackboard of your life. So there is this element of sincerity. And when it comes to feelings, I want to tell you something about that. We're going to go in great depth about that in our webinar, but there's no right or wrong feeling. It's not about there's only one way to feel in any, such as at a funeral, you should cry. No, maybe you could have all kinds of feelings. I have seen all kinds of feelings at funerals, including the fact that this was my first discovery that sometimes my feelings are not what other people would think they were appropriate. I was happy for my grandmother when she passed on because I loved her so much, and she was paralyzed almost every day for the last 6 months of her life. I was so happy for her. And everybody else was crying. And I felt happy. I really felt her there with me. So sometimes, that's what I mean. There's no right or wrong about feelings, but there is. Here's what there is about feelings. There's honest or dishonest. Is it really how you feel, or is it not how you feel? We are sometimes forced into conformity of feeling. We're sometimes forced into false feelings, and many times we're forced into hiding our feelings, especially in the workplace where diplomacy is everything and the rest of everything is political correctness. So, yes, we have to watch our manners, but with just simple good manners, we can find a way of letting our feelings be known to the right people. And it's so important for your health that you honor your feelings. The word honor is fundamental to honesty. It's what honesty is all about. When you can honor your feelings, honor your values, and put them together, and then not deny them in the world, you will find a partnership with heaven that is more powerful than anything you've ever imagined. So, this is where we're going to launch into our blessing today. But before we do, I just want to say that we still do have a few spaces in our webinar, and it may be too late for you to go through the whole process of enrolling online. But if you want to take that webinar, write me an email, GlendaGreen@gmail.com. That's easy to remember. Just GlendaGreen@gmail.com, okay? And say, I want in. Give me your email address, and I'll send you the login information. Then we'll just work out payment next week, okay? So that makes it really easy for anyone who was trying to get in, wanted to get in, and couldn't make it happen. So if you feel that this kind of strength is what you need, then you really should be in this webinar, because we cannot find what we're going, what we want, or even get answers to our prayers by slugging through the muddy bog of conflict. It's not going to get us there. We cannot keep walking through the old stories of our life, thinking there's an answer inside that story. You won't find it. It's not there. You have to know how to step up. And it doesn't even take a big step up. Just enough that we can establish communication with others at a little bit higher level. And then we go from there to a little bit higher level. And then we go from there. And as we do that, interestingly, we bring up other people with us. And isn't that wonderful? Okay, it's time for our blessing. And I'm going to just ask you to be seated with your arms and legs uncrossed. Be in a quiet place, your mind quietened from all thoughts and just dropped into your heart, ready to pray, ready to feel what you feel, ready to feel what you want, ready to value what you ask for, and ready to honor that in the coming week. And we will be with you in this blessing to activate and empower your prayer. I will begin with my prayer to Yeshua. When we're complete, the blessing givers and I will begin to convey the energy of the Holy Spirit in the grace of God. Dear Yeshua, we are so grateful that you have brought to us a way out, a way up, a better way to live that is not polarized, but it's measured by upward values leading toward heaven, governed by the soul and our spiritual integrity. We thank you for this roadmap, and we thank you for being with us when we can't find the road or the map, when we fall into the agony of some conflicted story or something that just seems to never work. We thank you for your patience, your endurance, and the courage that you give us to keep on moving toward the light. We ask you now to be with all of us, to be with those who receive and those who have made themselves into a willing conduit for your blessing to the world. We love you. We honor you. And we are so grateful. Amen. Your blessing has been offered. Now, I would like you to go and rest. Just go lie down for at least 7 minutes or longer. It's all right if you fall asleep. What the importance of it is to not think about. Don't even continue your prayer. Just absorb. Just be there like a newborn baby, accepting whatever has been given. So from me, bye-bye for now. God loves you, and I do too. And I look forward to being with you again.